I love them. I don't care what anybody thinks. I love the Beatles for them, and I'll always love them. Even when I'm 105 and an old grandmother, I'll love them.
Welcome to the She Loves You podcast, the podcast where we talk about the incredible women in the Beatles' lives. Everyone from the wives, the girlfriends, the friends, the groupies, the rumored affairs, and so much more. I'm glad that you were able to join us for this incredible new episode, so stay tuned. Hello, everybody. It has been way too long, and I sincerely apologize for that. Life has just gotten a bit crazy for me, as I think it all has for everybody. I think, in a sense, we can kind of say life is going back to normal somewhat, even though there is still, you know, we still have COVID and it's not really going to go away. It's just, I guess, more temperate. It's more calmed down, I guess, but even then, not really. But, yeah, life has been getting a little crazy for me. I just started school. It's actually my last semester, which I'm very, very happy about. But it's been keeping me busy, fam. I mean, really, really busy. But I miss doing these because I miss talking about the Beatles and specifically the women in their lives because I love to do this and I don't want to let you guys down because I do know that you guys like this and I hope that my audience appreciates it because it's fun, but also it's just an honor to be able to have an audience in general and being able to bring these stories to life, as I've mentioned many times before. But yeah, guys, I am really, really sorry that I have not had a new episode in, I think it's been like 2 months, which is, I don't even know what to say to that. I can't believe myself, really. I've let myself go, but you know, life gets in the way for most of us, but never to fear, friends. My schedule is a little more balanced now, so I can kind of understand what would be a good day to record and whatnot. So thankfully, you will not be without episodes for too long anymore. I will promise my best that I will try to get a new episode in every week, but again, that might be every 2 weeks, it might be every 3 weeks, but don't fear because episodes will be here. I do promise that. And I am so sorry about it, you guys, but I did miss you and I hope everyone's doing well. I hope everybody is healthy and happy. And we're doing our best every day, you know, and also I'm hoping that, in Beatle news, it's been kind of amazing. We've had Beatle Fest in Chicago and in New York, which I did not get to go to, which I'm highly disappointed in. So for those of you that have gone, yeah, I'm really, really jealous. And to speakers that I've had on the show that were able to go, I'm so sorry that I did not get to, see you in person because I know that was sort of what we wanted to do. But, you know, I just couldn't, one, because of my scheduling and money. I couldn't afford a trip to New York right now or Chicago, even though I would have loved to have gone. But to those of you that went, bless you because that's amazing and I'm very, very jealous. But anyway, besides my little tangent about not being here and that I've missed you, I'm really excited to bring you guys this episode. I suppose that now we're sort of talking about this idea of like the first loves and what it must have been like for these men to have such important women in their lives, you know, kind of the first woman to introduce them to the idea of love, which I think is a really interesting perspective in the sense that, you know, they did not know that these men would turn out to be the most famous men in the world, but yet they, you know, were just to them John, Paul, George, and Richard. You know, they were just men, which is, or I guess boys, because they were teenagers at the time. But, you know, it's pretty amazing. And today I bring you the amazing episode of Iris Caldwell, who was George Harrison's first girlfriend. So in doing my research about Iris, I actually first had heard of Iris when I was able to watch I'm pretty sure all of you have seen it, but the Beatles Stories documentary, which is fantastic. If you have not seen that documentary yet, it's wonderful. It is essentially a filmmaker who is this big, big, big Beatles fan, and he decided to essentially make it his mission to locate people that you know, knew the Beatles or have a particular story relating to a Beatle or the Beatles together. And he just sort of went and talked to everybody that he could find and that, you know, gave him permission to speak to them. And, you know, he has some fascinating people on the documentary. And one of the few people that he actually did get to interview was Iris. And it was just so amazing to see Herb, just because of the fact that her little love story with George is incredibly sweet. And it's very innocent, you know, sort of that first kiss, first love type of thing. So if you have not had the chance to see the documentary, I highly recommend it, because her little story about George is very cute. And it's very interesting, because, you know, beyond George, there's so much history to her. But anyway, she was born Iris Violet Caldwell in 1945. Her parents were Ernie Caldwell and Violet, hence her middle name, Violet. So she came from this small little Liverpool family, and, you know, George actually mentioned later on, a few years, he recalled how sweet her parents were and genuinely what kind people they were, particularly her father, Ernie. He was a porter in one of the hospitals and would actually sing to his patients, which I think is very, very sweet and generous and kind of shows you what kind of person he was. So George really remembered them fondly, as did all the boys. They were very homely and very just a caring, loving family, which is so great to know that she had such a great upbringing in that sense. A very community type family. So interestingly enough, also, the boys used to have funny nicknames for her parents, which they kind of had funny nicknames for everybody in a way. So it's really funny that they also had it for her parents, but they used to call her father the Crusher and her mother Violet Vi for Violet, which is just really, really funny and sort of a very Liverpudlian thing to do in terms of having a nickname for someone. So it was really, really funny. And Iris says that she never really understood why her mother's nickname was Violet Vi when she was not really a violent person, but, you know, she went along with it. And it must have just been sort of an inside joke between the boys, and, you know, their humor always was top notch, as I say. You know, and as a young girl in Liverpool, she would always hang around in the music scene, as did a lot of young girls were starting to kind of note, which is so interesting because, you know, Liverpool is such a, I wouldn't say it's small. I've been there. It's definitely not small, but it has the vibe of like a small sort of town and everybody sort of knows each other. And especially back in the 60s and, you know, the late 50s, it must have been even more of sort of a kind of like a, you know, everyone was so connected. So it must have been even more connected then. And, you know, Violet or Iris, not Violet, Iris. Yeah, she was just really into the music scene, as was every young girl then, and would frequently go and watch musicians and listen to musicians, and was just sort of living a young girl life, you know? She was very mature for her age, though, I must say, because, again, this was all happening when she was, I think, only like 12 or 13, so, you know, very mature for her age, still a kid herself, but just, you know, very mature in that sense. And I don't know, I think women back then were more mature. I think that's sort of just what was, you know, when you were a woman back then, you were more mature. You know, you had relationships earlier, just sort of a thing. But yes, as I mentioned, she would hang around the music scene. But again, Iris was not the typical, I'm just a fan of this band and whatnot. She had something very special to her, something incredibly, incredibly special. Because she wasn't just a music girl. Oh no. Her brother, who was named Alan, was her older brother. And he was the founding member of Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, because he would end up being Rory Storm himself. It was sort of a stage name he adopted. And if you really don't know Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, they are one of, or were one of the biggest bands to come out of Liverpool. Again, I don't think they ever got world recognition like the Beatles did or even like Cilla Black, but they were very well known in Liverpool. They were the band to be in. They were the band, you know, And it must have been amazing that her older brother was this leader of this incredible band. And, you know, Iris was happy to be in the cavern and hear them play in the Casbah. And she really, really admired her brother in that sense, given he was an older brother, so he would still always tease her and whatnot. But people knew Iris mainly because of Rory, but also just because of the fact, you know, you're known in the community. But a lot of people really knew her because of her brother and the fact that he was such a big, prominent figure in Liverpool. But that led her to hanging out with a bunch of other Liverpool acts, Liverpool bands, and you know, making friends with everybody essentially. But one of the people that was trying to sort of involve himself in Rory's band was a young George Harrison, as he was a young guitarist at the time, and he was desperate to be in Rory's band. He was completely desperate, and he was going to do anything it took, anything it took. So, because he was hanging around so much and wanting to sort of get involved with everything, he noticed Iris straight away. And he's a young kid himself, and she was a very pretty girl at the time, and he took notice of her. She met, and they actually met at an ice rink, and it was very innocent and very sweet. And Iris actually says that, you know, he was always doing things for her, whether it was carrying her books for school, walking her back to her house, you know, a total and complete gentleman, even at the young age that he was. And she remembered just thinking, like, oh, he's so sweet and really, really nice. And because he was trying to get into her brother's band, she also assumed he's only hanging around me because I'm sort of a way to my brother, which is unfortunate, but in a way, she sort of knew that she wasn't really dumb. But, you know, she went along with it because a handsome boy carries your books. I don't think you're going to protest, right? But yes, George would always usually hang around her house, mainly to see Rory. But if he happened to see Iris, that wasn't bad either. And they actually would do a lot of things, such as watch movies, hold hands. And I think Iris recalls that they would hold hands on the couch, which was very, you know, very bold for the late 50s, early 60s. You know, it was still a very innocent time. So holding hands with a boy on a couch, on your family's couch, definitely not what you did. So it was a very bold move of her to do that. Her mom recalled that actually. Her mom recalled them holding hands, and she thought it was sweet, obviously, because they were so young, but at the same time it was like, you know, the type of thing. But a very, very sweet, innocent time. They would actually go on long walks as well and cuddle a lot and get to know each other. Even as young as they were, it was sort of a first love. And even though she knew he's probably only with me to get with my brother, I like him. And I think deep down, in a way, George ended up liking her more than he thought he would. You know, of course, with it all, she was still young, and she would sneak into certain shows that she actually wasn't allowed into. And you know, Rory would always sort of say, oh, you know, thanks to Iris for helping us today, my sister, and you know, she's wonderful, because she ended up actually helping with the coats sometimes. You know, like, people would drop off their coats, like a coat check girl, you know, type of thing. And so sometimes she would help, you know, if she was allowed in the club, she would help. And you know, Rory would occasionally make fun of her because, you know, at the time she was trying to be more, a little more mature, so she would wear a lot of makeup, and she actually began to stuff her bra, which was really, really funny. And you know, I'm sure we've all been there. We've all been there, girl. But Rory would end up making fun of her. And there was one particular night when she was coat checking, and you know, she was having a great night. She had all the makeup on. She felt really mature and really in her element. And she decided to stuff her bra that night because she wanted to look more mature. And Rory went on a whole spiel, you know, thanks to our Iris, who's the greatest coat check girl in the world. And thank you to the fact that she has decided to get nice for us, including stuffing her bra. And he said it to the entire audience. And given the fact that she was a young girl, she was mortified and completely embarrassed by her older brother, you know, just outing her in the way that he did, and she was incredibly embarrassed. So she ran all the way down the street, hoping to just go home and you know, cry into her pillow and never talk to him again. But because of the fact that, you know, George and Iris began to really like each other, and George, being the incredible sweetheart that he was, actually went after her. Iris was running down the street, and she suddenly felt an arm or a hand grab her hand, and she turned around, and it was George, and they looked at each other, and it was one of those movie moments. Iris says in the documentary it was one of those, like, real movie moments, and George gave her a wonderful, sweet kiss, and she claims that it's the best kiss that she's ever gotten anywhere, anytime, and it was a really sweet, intimate moment. And, you know, I love it. I love that story so much because, I don't know, it's really sweet to think that George, you know, was really only getting close to her for her brother, and then turns out that he fell for her and felt bad for her, and it's incredibly sweet, and it's sort of the power of that first love feeling, and it's really sweet to know that George had a really wonderful experience like that, and especially Iris, you know, getting your first kiss from George Harrison. Like, wow, what a lucky girl. Louise Harrison, who was George's sister, actually recalls that they were inseparable at the time, which is really interesting. Because in a lot of interviews that Iris has done, she said that they would occasionally, once in a while, see each other, but Louise says that they were inseparable, and it's really actually sweet to know that they were as obsessed with each other then, you know. So it's very, very sweet. And the great thing is about that relationship, Iris remembers it very fondly to this day. She remembers the fact that, you know, they were incredibly lovey-dovey, and it was one of those, like, it's your first love, you know? So as we talked about in the Paul and John episode, I think first love is such an intense feeling for anybody, especially if you're really young. So, you know, the fact that these boys were experiencing it, it's, you know, it's really amazing. And Iris seems like such an amazing person. So it's great that George got to really, you know, experience that with her. So by 1961, actually, after a couple years of kind of being on and off with George, I would say like about a year, they became not necessarily boyfriend and girlfriend, but, you know, they would occasionally see each other, and there was still a lot of affection there, of course, but, you know, they were both really young. And by 1961, at the age of 17, Iris actually began training as a dancer, and she actually got a job at the Tower Ballroom, which is incredible. So she had a really deep love of dance and performing, and, you know, at that really young age, she got a job right out of training. But, you know, she was still always a Liverpool girl deep down, and would always kind of go back to her roots and visit all her friends and, you know, talk to everybody. And, you know, her house, as I mentioned before, was always sort of this place to be in Liverpool. Every band, every person, everyone would just visit her family home, which is just incredible to me. It became sort of I think of it like kind of like a Mona Best's, you know, the Casbah and stuff like that. Everyone would go, everyone from John and Paul and George and Ringo as well, you know, considering he was in Rory Storm and the Hurricanes. So it's just really incredible that her home was sort of the place to be, and not a lot of people really know about Iris. So it's pretty amazing that, you know, this was the place to be, and yet no one really knows. But it's interesting that the boys, even later in their careers, remembered them fondly. But as I mentioned, she loved her dancing career. She got to dance for a living, which, I mean, honestly, that sounds amazing. Because if you get the opportunity, as a performer myself, if you get the opportunity to perform what you love, I think it's just amazing. And it's great that Iris was able to do that and show off her talent, you know? A couple years had passed, and of course, George had effectively left Liverpool and moved on and, you know, sort of just saw the world, and Iris and him broke up, effectively, even though it wasn't really a breakup, it was just sort of a see you around type thing, because they were never really serious, but, yeah, effectively, she left, and, you know, by 1964, she had been performing, and she actually met her future husband, Shane Fenton of the Fentones. They met at a gig at the ballroom, and they got to know each other pretty well and fell in love and ended up marrying in 1964. They actually were a double act at the time, and they toured around, and actually I believe they recorded with Brian Epstein. They recorded a couple of covers of songs, I believe, and they were, you know, pretty well, but they never really did anything much with it, of course. They actually ended up having two children, Sean and Adam. And, you know, as the 60s passed, the 70s came along. And by 1972 is when a lot of things actually changed for Iris and her entire family. Her father tragically passed away, and it was a very sad time for the family. They were all devastated. They loved their father. Her mother, incredibly devastated, and I think she went through a long period of mourning and a lot of self-reflection, and it was really, really hard for her. And there was this much distress, and Rory and Iris had to come home and sort of comfort their mother and make sure that she was fine, but also get, you know, everything ready. And, you know, at the time, as I mentioned, they were comforting their mother. There was, unfortunately, a night where Rory was with her, and he unfortunately passed away of a overdose of sleeping pills and alcohol, which, you know, don't mix, obviously. And it was a big, big shock to everybody, especially their mother. And an even bigger tragedy that occurred is she committed suicide when she found Rory, her son, dead. So it was a chain of events that went from worse to worse to worse. And it was a very, very difficult thing for Iris, considering that her whole family was now gone, and it was sort of hard to cope with that. And I can't even imagine the pain she must have felt, the sadness she must have felt. It must have been as though the world was just crashing in on her, which is a very, very a very, very hard thing, I think. And as I was doing my research on her, it was the thing that struck me the most is just how quickly life can sort of turn on you. And yeah, I mean, it's just very incredibly, incredibly sad. You know, with all the tragedy, a new ending came as well. By 1983, her husband had actually succeeded a little bit in the glam rock sort of era, but their marriage was not doing well. And by 1983, they divorced. But, you know, with all the tragedies, the thing about Iris that is so interesting is that she is still such a pleasant, sweet, lovely person. You know, in the Beatles story, you just see her recount her time with George, and it's just so incredibly refreshing because she seems like the typical Liverpool girl, and it's really, really amazing to see that. But, you know, in her later life, she has now since stepped out of the limelight and is now a dance teacher as well as a drama teacher. So she still loves to perform, but now she does it from an education standpoint. And I'd love to take her class. She seems like such a nice person. So I think that would be incredibly, incredibly fun. So overall, I'd say that this is sort of, again, going in theme with the first love you know, aspect that we've been talking or that I'm talking about in these next couple of episodes. Iris, I guess, was sort of really George's first girlfriend and the first time he experienced love. So it's pretty, pretty incredible. And I think their story is just so darling and so sweet. And I think everything that a first girlfriend or boyfriend or, you know, first love should be, you should have that sort of young, innocent, sweet moments in your life, and their story is no exception. So it's really, really sweet. And, you know, Iris is really an amazing lady, a true Liverpool girl through and through. And yeah, I think she's great, and it's wonderful that George got to experience that, and that, you know, they still, you know, were very fond of each other even after, you know, everything. So it's very, very sweet and amazing. So that is it for today's episode, everybody. Thank you for joining me. And again, I apologize for the long break. It hasn't really been a break, more than life getting in the way, unfortunately.
I am going to school, as I think I've mentioned, so it just gets crazy, and I sometimes come home exhausted because night classes are no joke for anyone that takes them. But I'm surviving and I'm still making episodes, I promise, because I still love you all, and I know that there are listeners out there, which is still crazy to me, but thank you. So I will be bringing new episodes. We are going to be learning about another incredible lady on the next episode of the She Loves You podcast. So stay tuned.